Hello and welcome to this week's Inside Education. My name is Sean Delaney and I'll be your host for the next 30 minutes or so. Coming up on today's programme.
I've never talked to anybody who didn't say, like, they've had a great time here, or it was just brilliant. And anyone I've talked to, like, my age or older, they always say the exact same thing, which is, I wish it was here when I was in school.
We feature a place outside of school where children learn to write, and they love it. I'll be speaking to Alan Bennett from Fighting Words, who will tell us about an initiative to get people of all ages writing. But first this week, we return briefly to a man we featured on a previous programme, the Abbot of Glenstall School in Limerick, Mark Patrick Hederman. When I spoke to him, I asked him what kind of a school he led when he was principal of Glenstall.
Well, I was a boy in the school first, so I knew what it was like. And it's a small school, and therefore it's very privileged people. There are 15 to a class, etc. So our hope is that every single person who comes into that school will become what they were meant to become. Because I'm a monk, and I believe that the Holy Spirit has some plan for every single person, and that your great privilege is to find out what that is. That's my view of the thing. So our only job is to help the person to develop the potential they have, and that can be in any field. It can be on a sports field, or it can be to do with art or science or whatever. You see, there's all sorts of areas, and Glenstall Abbey is a beautiful place. There's a marvellous natural surrounding, so that people have every opportunity to explore nature, which is, I think, one of the major ways in which we develop ourselves, and then to express themselves in many, many different ways, whether that be in art or in sport or in personal relationships.
And were you able to do that within the constraints of the point system?
Well, the point system only came in. See, you've got to recognise that I'm now just receiving free travel. And so I would have finished being the headmaster of the school in 1991. So when I was at school myself, there was no point system whatever. I mean, nobody did any work at all of the official kind. So all that came in quite late. I think it's more to do with, since I left education, that this has come up, you know, and that, you know, people who should never, ever be in medicine, because I wouldn't let them touch me if I had anything wrong with me, are the ones who get into medicine because they get the 500 or 600 points, you know. And then their parents say, oh, if you've got 600 points, you can't possibly just go out and do an arts degree. You must do one of these prestigious, you know, the child who's drowning in the Lee, they said it, and the parents running up and down saying, my child, the electric engineer, is drowning in the Lee, you know. I mean, you've got this pressure on you to do something worthy of the points that you got. So people enter engineering, and after the third year, they're bored to tears. They say, how'd I ever get into this? So all of that, I think, is much more important to find out what is it that this particular person was born to be, and then help them to get there.
That was the Abbot of Glenstall, Mark Patrick Hederman. If you want to hear his previous interview or any other edition of Inside Education, you can go to our website, insideed.com. Coming up next is Alan Bennett from Fighting Words.
Radio as it should be, by people who are passionate about radio. Dublin's only special interest radio station, Dublin City FM.
I'm standing here at the entrance to Fighting Words, and it's a relatively long, narrow room, and it's got lots of bookshelves, and I'm talking to Alan Bennett. Alan, good to meet you.
Yeah, you too, yeah.
Alan, I wonder, can you tell me a little bit about where we're standing and tell me a little bit about this room?
Well, this is just the entrance to Fighting Words. This is where, when the primary schools come in, we get them to hang out here for a bit. We take their names, put them on name badges up here, then they go up there and they get a photograph taken that'll go on the book later on. And then they wait here, and, you know, we do this magic door thing where we get them all to say the magic word, and then we open the door.
Okay, so there's a magic door here, and there's also some words flashing up on the window, which is visible to everyone passing by. Can you just say a little bit about that?
Yeah, that projector goes all the time, and it shoots onto that window there, and that's a few different stories that were, I think they were written last year by a few of the students that came in, and so they were animated, and they're just always projected on the window. Yeah.
Okay. And are there any particular books that are on display here? Are they? I mean, I see some by Irish authors like Maeve Binchy and Paul Durkin.
Yeah, there's books. There's all sorts of books, and they're in no particular order. And there's books of everything, fiction, non-fiction, most of Irish authors and authors from all over the world. It's just loads and loads of books.
You mentioned a magic door earlier, Alan. So are you going to bring me through the magic door?
So will I get you through the kids to say the magic word?
Okay, what's the magic word?
I make it up every time.
Okay.
This morning it was fighting words, E-I-E-I-O, and they had to sing it, and then we swing the door.
Okay, so one of the shelves rotates, and we walk into another really, really bright, much, much larger room, and again, there's more shelves here, more books on the shelves, and there's some flip charts. And can you tell us what else I should be looking out for here, Alan?
So the primary schools come in, we sit them down on cushions on all the chairs, and this is a big projector screen that comes down, and so they're all aimed at that. And then there's a storyteller who gets them to basically write their own story, and they come up with everything themselves. Someone sits there on the laptop, and they type up what the kids say.
Okay.
Projector up here.
Oh, and there's a projector, okay. And then there's also a room to the left. I mean, this is quite a large room. The room to the left with tables and chairs all around them.
Yeah, so after about an hour, we get the kids to come up with their character and the greatest wish of the character and what the character basically wants to do. And after that goes on for about 40 minutes, an hour, and after they have the start done, they come over here and individually write their own endings. And there'll be volunteers then to help them through with it if they have any questions or anything.
Okay, so it begins with group work and then they all finish up the work themselves.
Yep.
Okay, so what is the... Maybe we'll sit down here, Alan, and talk a little bit more about fighting words and just take a moment here. So what is the purpose of fighting words? Why was it set up?
Well, I wasn't here at the start, but what I think is it's to try and help... to inspire writing in everybody, actually. We do primary schools in the mornings and secondary schools in the evenings, and there's also adult classes that come in from time to time. So I think it's a great way to inspire writing and to get people interested in writing, and it's all free of charge. So it really is just to help people love writing.
And So it's to try and promote interest in writing, really?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And you've mentioned there it's for primary school children and post-primary, and is it only for them or is it for adults as well?
No, it's for everyone. Every day in the morning there's a primary school and in the evening there's a secondary school. But then from time to time there's adult classes and programmes and different things, and then there's summer camps and different workshops.
So what kind of writing then, if we take the primary school group, what kind of writing do they do?
Well, for a primary school group, it's very simple stories. Like they do one short story, so they'd come up with a character. It can be anything. From earlier on today, it was Vinny the Vampire and Foggy the Ghost. So, but every day, you know, it's a different couple of characters, and they write a very short story, and it's very basic like that.
And they come in here with their teachers. Is that right?
They come in, but we try and the teachers sit at the back usually, and we try and have them not as involved, because then we want it not to feel too much like a classroom, you know. So the teachers usually just kind of sit over there and they can kind of take a break, and then the volunteers can help and get involved.
And how does it work then for the post-primary children?
Well, they come in, the magic door is already open, we don't go through all that because they would laugh at us. It's the same kind of story. They come in, they sit here, not on cushions on the floor, but on chairs, and we have the projector down. The storyteller doesn't have to do quite as much. It's more up to them. He just asks questions. And then they write, like, we give them a scenario and two of them act it out. For example, the one we did today was, say, we get two people to act it out, and one won concert tickets, and then his best friend assumed he was going, but the guy who won had already given the tickets to someone else. So they have to argue it out. And then we write the story from there. And then the same, they come over here and finish the endings.
And then you've mentioned workshops as well. What kind of workshops are held here?
Well, there's all sorts. Since I've started, there's been songwriting, which was with Christy Moore. There was crime writing, which was with John Banville, or Benjamin Black. There's memoir writing, there's screenwriting, every type of writing basically, blogging, journalism, they do all sorts, and they're just at different times throughout the year.
And these are open to who?
Generally, they're open to different, they're aimed at different groups. So sometimes they might be for like 12 to 14 year olds, sometimes from 15 to 17 year olds. But each of them have like a gap of say 2 or 3 years that they're open to.
And what kind of feedback do you get from the students or the adults who come in here to take part in the Fighting Words activities?
Well, it's always brilliant. Like, I've never talked to anybody who didn't say, like, they've had a great time here. It was just brilliant. And anyone I've talked to, like, my age or older, they always say the exact same thing, which is, I wish it was here when I was in school. And I said it myself so many times, because it's like nothing I ever did when I was in school. It's just, you know, it's all positive.
And lots of people, Alan, hate being faced with a blank page and having to fill it. How do you get around that challenge here with the students of all ages?
Yeah, well, that's why we do the scenario where we get two people to act it out. You know, the secondary school program. So they act out the scenario like the concert tickets. There's other ones where they could be sitting outside the principal's office and one of them has broken a window and they're talking it through. But while they're talking, while they're saying it, we have a typist sitting there and they're writing down everything they say. So straight away, that gives us a whole scene of dialogue that we can work around, and then we can tell them how to make it into a good story.
And do they come up with those scenarios themselves, or are they devised by the volunteers?
Generally, the scenario for the secondary school, the scenario is devised. Like, we say, you're this and you're this, and now talk, and they do everything else. Whatever they say becomes a story, so the story is different every time.
Now, you said earlier that one of the things you like to do is to make it different from a school, and you ask the teachers to sit at the back and so on. So how do you think it is different from a school? I mean, why is coming to Fighting Words better than doing writing in school?
School, I think, is just very structured. Like, you know, there's no right and wrong in Fighting Words. So you can be wrong in school, and, you know, you can fail exams and stuff. But in creative writing, the way I see it is you can't be wrong. You can do things differently to other people, and you can maybe do things that are, you know, not conventional. But whatever you do yourself. So it's a lot more relaxed and free-flowing, and, you know, it's open. Like.
And part of any book, or part of a lot of books for children, is the illustrations. Do you do anything on illustrations here?
Yeah, we have. So as you can see over here in the room, at the projector, where all the kids will be facing, to the right of that, there's the person sitting typing, and to the left, there's a board, and there'll be a person standing there illustrating. So when the primary school kids, when they come up with their character, it could be anything, as in this morning it was the ghost, he'll start drawing that, and then later on there'll be a scene and he'll draw another one of the ghost in the scene or whatever, and then they'll be printed in the books at the end.
Okay, and yeah, so you're talking about printing in the books at the end. How is their work published?
So during the session, there is they get introduced to an angry editor called Mr. McConkie. He lives inside that office. He never comes out, and he's read all the books in the world. He knows everything about writing, and so the characters have to be original because he's read all the books. So you're not allowed to just use Justin Bieber or Wayne Rooney. We meet him. He's really cranky, but he says, okay, you know, I'll give you 2 minutes later on to read your stories. So they write the story, and then he reads out the endings to the kids. But during that time, they're inside printing. And then after that, out through this magic wall here, we call it, in the bottom drawer, he hands out all the books to all the kids, and they all get their own copy, and they all have the illustrations in them, the story they wrote, and a photograph of each kid on the back.
So they have their own ending that they put into the story, do they?
They have the start that we worked on together as a group, and then there's blank lines, lined pages, for them to fill in the ending they worked on themselves. And the illustrations that the illustrator did is in the story, in the book as well.
And do you ever have children who come in here and they maybe don't like the story that the most of the group want to write, and they rebel a little bit? Or does that ever happen?
From time to time, there's a few people that aren't happy, but generally it's all very democratic, because we do this thing we call a closed-eye vote. So all the students will say, okay, who's going to be the main character, and they'll put up their hands, and, you know, they might name out 10 characters, and then we vote. So they have to close their eyes so they can't see who their friends are voting for, and some of the volunteers go around with foam fingers and say, you've got your eyes open, you've got your eyes open. So it's fair that way, because whoever whichever character gets the most votes gets picked.
And when the children then go and do their own writing, one of the big problems that children have is they don't know how to spell words. How do you deal with that?
Well, I think for me, what I've noticed anyway is there's two different types of two different ways a child will write. Some kids will just keep writing. They won't worry about spelling. They just want to get all the ideas down the page and they'll keep going. And other kids, you'll see them rubbing out and crossing things out, and they won't want to keep going until they have it right. And those ones are the ones who will ask how to spell something. So generally, if it's a very hard word, we'll just spell it for them. Sometimes we'll try and help them, like, you know, phonetically, like, you know, if it's like, say, how do you spell a window? It's like, you know. But generally, you can just tell them or else they'll just go on with it. We don't really mind if they misspell things. We just want to see them writing. So.
And how is the whole centre here funded?
It's all private. It's all private people and philanthropists and, you know, private organisations. Yeah. So.
Okay. And I mean, it was set up by one of our better known writers,
yeah, Roddy Doyle. Yeah. Yeah, and he's very hands on as well. And he comes in and he does workshops and He works with a fourth-year group called Skull Katrina, who are doing a year-long project in here. And so he comes in every Thursday and works with them, yeah.
And what's that year-long project?
It's basically one fourth-year class comes in and they work on a short story each for the year. And then at the end of the year, they publish it in a book. So this year, it's Skull Katrina. And the name of the book is Lost in Transition, which I think is absolutely brilliant, their transition year class. Last year, it was Larkin Community College, I think, and they did a book called Fighting Tuesdays, and that was brilliant, and it's here on some of the shelves, and it's published by Stinging Fly Press, and it's excellent.
And this was commercially published and sold, was it?
Yeah. I'm not sure about the selling, but it was in places anyway. It was around the place, yeah.
Okay. And now you're a volunteer at the centre, Alan. Can you just say a little bit about the importance of volunteers to the centre?
Yeah, well, I'm actually an intern, which just means that I've slightly more responsibility. I have to do some more of the admin stuff in the back, and I have to be here more often, and I'm here all day. Volunteers come in for, say, we'd have four or five volunteers for the primary school session in the morning, and then a different four or five for the secondary school session in the evening, and then if there's later adult classes. But it's completely true that it wouldn't work without the volunteers. There's only four staff that are employed. And there's about 300 volunteers. So without them, it just wouldn't work, you know. None of the sessions could work. So.
And who are the volunteers?
Everybody, anybody. Anybody who just wants to sign up. Anybody who is interested in writing and teaching, who just likes working with kids. People who are interested in illustrating. Absolutely, it could be anybody. Anybody.
And if somebody is interested, how do they go about becoming a volunteer?
They can sign up on fightingwords.ie. There's the whole volunteer form to fill in, or if they're nearby, they can drop in and pick up a form off one of the staff.
And what kind of training do they get to help the children write?
The training they do actually is they come in when there's a few volunteers, new volunteers ready, they do a training session, and they'd come in some evening or whatever, and they actually run through a primary school session as if the volunteers were the children. So that's a lot of fun, and they write a story. So that's how, and then they see how it works.
Okay. And now you said that you wished that something like this had been around when you were in school and that other people have said that to you. What do you think schools can learn from the way that Fighting Words approaches writing? Like, how is it different from your writing lessons in school?
Well, not to say anything bad about my school, but I never felt like that we got like writing lessons as such. You know, school is so, you know, structured for, it has to kind of fit to everybody that... You know, you come in, you do your whatever, like you do your bits and pieces, like you do your bit of drama, your bit of comprehensive, your bit of whatever. But in here, it's just, you actually, you know, you write and you just write what you want. Like, you're not told what to do. And I just like things that are open. I don't like having too many, you know, walls and stuff. And I like to, you know, to let my mind wander. And I think that works in here a lot better. And just the room, like, inspires people. Like, you're surrounded. There's books all over the place. There's guidelines and creative writing by authors up there, including Roddy Doyle. And it's colourful, and it's just, you feel like you can do whatever you want in here, and I think that helps.
Okay, yeah, and it's just so bright and airy as well.
Yeah. So, like, the whole back wall is windows, basically, you know, and everything that's not a window is a bookshelf. So if you can't write in here, I don't know where you can write, like.
Okay. And how did you get involved as an intern here?
Well, I just saw a link on Facebook actually to the Fighting Words website saying we were looking for a volunteer, and it just seemed brilliant. It seemed like everything I wanted to do. You know, work with kids, work with words, work with books and writing and reading, and I just wanted the opportunity to do it. And then I saw that the manager here is Sarah Bennett, and she put up the ad, and my name's Alan Bennett, so I was like, brilliant, I have to get this job.
A bit of fate there. Yeah. And what do you most enjoy about the work?
What do I most enjoy? I think it's reading the stories that the kids come up with. They have such amazing imaginations, the stuff they come up with, and like so much better than adults. I think, well, they're so much better at letting whatever comes first out. Like, they can just say whatever comes into their mind, and I love reading the stories they come up with. They can be so funny and they can be so imaginative that it also inspires me then to go home and write something, you know.
And there are samples of children's writing on the website.
Oh yeah, every day whatever story we write goes up on the website, so every single day there's a new story, and all of the stories backdated are up there, archived.
And are you responsible for that, or is that another intern?
No, that'd be Emmy then. He is the web guy. I don't know what the proper title is, but he does all the computer stuff and internet stuff, and he puts it all up on the website.
Okay. Yeah. And do you write yourself?
I do, yeah.
What kind of writing?
Mostly fiction, humorous kind of fiction. So I've been working on a novel and a few short stories. So.
Okay, for children or for adults?
One of the stories that I'm working on that may turn into be a children's book is for, obviously, for children, and then generally for adults or young adults.
Yeah. Okay. So we might go up and have a look, Alan, at the guidelines for creative writing up here. Would that be okay?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So here's 10 Rules for Writing Fiction by Roddy Doyle.
Okay.
Who, in my opinion, is definitely one of the best Irish writers and one of the best writers in the world for me. And, you know, there's interesting things like, well, do not place a photograph of your favourite author. Like, you know, it's just like, it's kind of funny. But my favourite one is number 8. Do not change your mind. Good ideas are often murdered.
Do change your mind.
Sorry. Do change your mind. Good ideas are often murdered by better ones. I was working on a novel about a band called The Partitions. Then I decided to call them The Commitments.
Okay, yeah. That's interesting. And do not search amazon.co.uk for the book you haven't written yet.
Yeah.
Okay, and do occasionally give in to temptation. Watch the kitchen floor, hang out the washing. It's research. Okay, yeah. And do restrict your browsing to a few websites a day. Don't go near the online bookies unless it's research. Yeah, that's definitely good advice there. So, Mr. McConkie's wall, where's that?
This is here. It's, we kind of call it the magic wall. Just above it, there's two more. There's rules by Anne Enright and Robert Ford,
okay,
as well.
So
just different rules.
Anne Enright says the first 12 years are the worst, and try to be accurate about stuff. Imagine that you were dying. If you had a terminal disease, would you finish this book? Why not? The thing that annoys this 10 weeks to live self is the thing that is wrong with the book, so change it. Stop arguing with yourself. Change it. See? Easy. And no one had to die.
Yeah, I think number 9 as well is imperative.
Have fun.
Simply have fun, yeah.
What does Richard Ford advise?
marry somebody you love and who thinks you being a writer is a good idea. Don't have children, don't read your reviews, don't write reviews. Don't have arguments with your wife in the morning or late at night. Don't drink and write at the same time. Don't write letters to the editor. Don't wish ill on your colleagues. Try to think as others as good luck. Think of others' good luck as encouragement to yourself. And don't take any shit if you can possibly help it.
Okay.
So this is the magic wall here. So after they write the start of the story themselves, they all go over to the tables and start writing their own endings. And then we push all the cushions over to the floor here. And whoever is the storyteller will bring all the kids over here at the end. And he'll talk to Mr. McConkie in here like this. We'll open that. It opens up to, it says editor's office, and you can kind of see the silhouette of the editor inside. Okay. And you know, he'll be cranky, but he'll read the stories out, and he'll read the kids' names and the stories, and he'll start changing his mind and saying it's all very, very good and brilliant. And then the storyteller will pass in the rest of the endings, and it goes into the office there. It's okay. Like a little trap door, and the stories will already have been printed, and when it's all finished, he'll say well done, and we'll all clap and cheer for the stories, and they'll be passed out through another trap door there.
Okay, so lots of trapdoors and false bookshelves here.
Yeah, and there's also creepy things everywhere. As you can see, there's like a spider up there and a creepy man and a snake.
This is all inspiration for writers.
Yeah, it is, yeah. For maybe writing horror stories. And the kids always notice this stuff and they get very excited about it, you know. So.
And you also mentioned summer courses there. What do they involve?
There's summer camps on. So the same kids would come in for a week, you know, and they'd for example, last year they made a film. So they'd write a script for a few of the days, and they'd work out what's good about films, and then they'd shoot it on the last day. There's also like radio writing for radio, and they'd record that. And so this year they're thinking of doing some different things, like comedy writing, I don't know, screenwriting, and lots of different things like that.
Okay. And for anyone who wants to come here, is the website the best thing to do?
Yeah, I would think so. Fightingwords.ie, there's loads of information on the website. Yeah.
And I gather there's a waiting list for schools who want to come here.
Yeah, they opened the bookings for next year over the last week. I think it might be booked up already, but if they want to inquire, they should definitely get onto fightingwords.ie. And if it is booked up, book it for next year, because it's brilliant.
And are there any plans to develop Fighting Words or to open up another branch of it or anything like that?
I think they'd love to open another branch if they could. I'm not so sure about any of that. I'm not involved in board meetings, unfortunately. But I think the plan is to eventually get it to be open all the time, like from 9 to 9, 7 days a week. 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, and just have constant classes, just a room for people to come in and write. Sometimes even now, on a Wednesday evening, it's a thing called Write Club, and on a Saturday evening, where kids just come in off their own steam who are working on different things, stories or books or whatever, and they just sit there for 2 or 3 hours and write whatever they're working on. And there's no classes, and there's no one help. There's people here that can help if they need to, but they just do it all for themselves.
And have you identified any budding Ruddy Doyles yet?
It's a bit early to say, maybe, but you can definitely see talent from a young enough age, definitely, yeah.
And that was Alan Bennett from Fighting Words. That's all we have time for on this week's programme. To listen to any previous editions of Inside Education, you can go to our website, which is insideed.com. But for now, from me, Sean Delaney, goodbye, and thank you for listening.